Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Shoppers turned out for Black Friday. Abrielle Laurent went to the Lakeside Shopping Center in New Orleans, where she was handed a glass of champagne.
When I saw people walking around with it, I thought it was something they were buying. And so when the lady told us it was complimentary, that was even better.
Our Rita Foley has more.
Macy's Herald Square in Manhattan has been bustling with shoppers today. 60% off fashion jewelry, 50% off select shoes, says Macy's. CEO Jeff Gannett says there's significantly more traffic on this Black Friday compared to the previous 2 years because shoppers feel more comfortable in crowds. But how much money will they spend? Analysts say shoppers are buying cheaper items now as higher prices for food, rent, gas, and other necessities weigh on them. They're dipping more into savings and turning to buy now, pay later services. Some are running up their credit cards. I'm Rita Foley.
And I'm Ben Thomas, AP News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Brewing says it's badly needed, as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, minus the Brian Kelly on this Tuesday afternoon. A couple more days of R&R, relaxation for the big guy, but in his absence, I'm joined by Jesse. You're in Madison,
I'm here.
Solidarity Realty Studios. Jesse, how you doing this afternoon?
Fabulous. Thanks for having me again. You know I'm always available.
Yeah, man. Oh, well, yeah. We're thrilled to have you back. It's been a little while, but going to kick around a couple tangents with you this afternoon.
That sounds great. Hope everyone had their turkey and know what to do with their leftovers. Today, this morning, I made like third generation leftovers. This is the third iteration.
What?
Yeah, you know, KFC has the bowls with like, we'll just show the potatoes and the chicken and the cheese and the corn and whatever. So we, you know, call those sadness bowls. This morning,
those aren't sadness bowls.
What? Ask Patton Oswalt. He's got a whole bit about it. You're like eating your feelings, right? So this morning, I took the sadness bowls, which were like second generation leftovers, and I made them into little breakfast fritters. So I'm just keeping the hope alive.
I was just saying, we're getting pretty far away from Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, I'm just, you know, every last part of the buffalo.
I hit it after 7 days. That means it's time for it to go in the trash and not hang out in the fridge anymore.
Well, I make stuff. 10 days is good.
10?
Sure. I was in food service.
I was. Okay. And okay. 10 days is pushing it, man. Okay. But we really appreciate you joining us this Tuesday afternoon here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, broadcasting across the Civic Media Network here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM in Waukesha, on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and Radio from the Center in Richland Center. If you out there in the listening audience would like to contribute a tangent to today's show, you can give us a call, send us a text, 844-967-2789. At 2:30, we will be joined by State Representative-elect Clinton Anderson. He's going to be joining us for the 45th Assembly District down in the Beloit area. So Clinton is going to be making an appearance here in studio, talking to us about his campaign to the State Assembly and see what things are up like for him now that he's been elected to that office. And before that legislative session begins, first legislative session, early January. It's been a while for those incumbents. They're going to have to shake off the dust, but Clinton will be able to share us a new perspective of somebody heading to the State Assembly for the first time. But in the meanwhile, till Clinton gets here to have that discussion with us, Jesse, there's some letters going around here in the state of Wisconsin today, kind of dueling letters, if you would.
Ooh.
And the first one's kind of interesting because it's all not that shocking. It's one of those letters where it got leaked to the press.
Leaked, you know, air quotes leaked.
Leaked as in one of the signatories, most likely, of this letter sent it to the press.
Sure.
And the it's a letter signed by the Republican congressional delegation here in the state of Wisconsin. So those five Republican super gerrymandered districts, gerrymandered districts across the state, but got five of the six, actually, now. I don't know if Van Orden's name was signed onto it because he's not technically a congressman yet. He's a congressman-elect. I'll have to double check to see if... I believe it's only five. I don't think Van Orden's name is on that. But the sixth name that is on it is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And they sent a letter to the Evers administration, incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers, just reelected to his second term. They sent him a letter and said, "Hey, Jesse, do you know what this letter said?"
Was it about something regurgitated from months ago that was also a nothing burger and had no basis, no germane reference to our shared objective reality?
Yes, that is very good. It is a regurgitation. It is not any new ideas. They're stealing from the Republican governor of South Dakota and I believe of North Carolina, or one of those mid-Atlantic states as well. And so this letter is telling Evers to ban TikTok.
Yes.
One of those campaign promises they're fulfilling on, right?
Yeah.
All of the month ago when we had those midterms that they were all gung-ho about gas prices and inflation and renewed spirit bringing the 2024 RNC to Milwaukee. They want to work together with Wisconsin and Democrats. And they send this letter that they leaked then to the press. That could have been a phone call.
Could have been a phone call.
Could have called up Governor Tony Evers' administration and said, "Hey, let's get a meeting on the books. We'll get together, and this is something we should address."
And this letter is referenced to some talk about TikTok, how it's because it's owned by a Chinese company, whether or not there are any vulnerabilities in the software that would allow any devices it's downloaded on to potentially become some instrument of unwitting recording, etc. Something that Homeland Security has known about for a while as a potentiality. Not something that Tony Evers either has anything to do with.
Wait, you're telling me
officially, or
the governor of Wisconsin doesn't have the ability to just then be able to take wide sweeping steps to prevent those national security
concerns?
He should
take his magic wand made of a unicorn horn, wave it around, and say tick, ta-gong, and then it's gone. Poof.
Well, and it's interesting because to me, this was right on time. I was looking at the calendar, you know, we're 28 days off from the midterms, and this is about, we've heard it iterated from Republican state lawmakers in the past of when silly season is. We're kind of in an extended silly season
here in
Wisconsin.
Usually they wait till after Christmas. I'm basically saying, you know, if you're going to bring silly season into the Christmas season, you, sirs and madams, are executing a war on Christmas, and I will not abide by it.
Well, they are in full swing of this silly season because,
sir, and thank you, ma'am.
The Republican lawmakers did the same exact thing 2 years ago. After the 2020 election wrapped up, from November through December, and then leading up to January 16th, there was a coordinated effort behind the scenes that we now know, thanks to the House Select Committee on January 6th, that the former guy who lost, and everybody was like, "Oh, what's the big deal? We'll just humor him a little with his complaining about the election being stolen," when we knew it wasn't. But the other Republicans, Ted Cruz, Scott Walker, the same individuals signing on to these letters, Ron Johnson, Gallagher in Green Bay, Grothman, the Republicans here in Wisconsin were bemoaning Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head in 2020, 2 years ago.
Sure.
They were bemoaning Dr. Seuss.
Senator John Kennedy in Louisiana is stumping for Herschel Walker yesterday and also referenced Mr. Seuss and the works thereof. And
so they're still
the
on those 2020 grievances,
potentially
too.
Potentially androgynous Mr. and Mrs.
It's just
potato head.
I believe, yes. Hasbro just calls it potato
they
head.
They them
so.
Potato head. Sure, it's you know, very big deal that it really affects the pocketbook on the kitchen table of Americans everywhere.
And a whole lot, again, the government can do about, specifically, you know, in this instance with this letter, the Evers administration, from what they're referencing, doesn't even have a TikTok on any of the state accounts that these Republicans are bemoaning he banned it from. Because, yes, his camp, Evers himself, doesn't have a TikTok for he individually. And he doesn't have an Evers administration TikTok either. The campaign did use one leading up to, but per state law, that campaign didn't use that on any state-owned devices. And so it's a big nothing burger, but it's all about grievances for these Republicans. And they say one thing. They say they want to work together. They want to be able to renew those relationships between Republicans and Democrats here in elected offices in the state of Wisconsin. And rather than something that could have been a phone call, they drew it out to 3 pages long. And they leaked it to the press then, making it seem like this is a whole thing. And it worked, though, Jesse, because we're talking about it, but sure. We got to call it out when it's nonsense. We got to call the nonsense out for what it is.
And there should be no surprise by anyone about any of this, because as we've discussed at Infinitum, is that the Republican Party and the culture of the entire conservative American ecosystem is not dealing in good faith, right? So, of course, they're going to, you know, complain about, you know, this topic du jour or 2 years ago topic du jour or whatever the case may be. Yet, you know, when there were legitimate concerns from all 17 of our national security and intelligence agencies that they were talking to high rank members of both major political parties, members of the media, social media companies, saying, hey, look, we do know for sure, we all agree that there is a rampant Russian disinformation campaign meant to tweak and meddle in the U.S. Elections, you know, or when there was...
Well, Ron Johnson couldn't call that one out because he was a part of it. You know, he was in Moscow in 2017 on the 4th of July.
Yeah, or, you know, how many of these people actually have met with actual Russian agents and Russian spies at Mar-a-Lago?
Oh, they pop up in photos all the time.
So, yeah, you know, you can't take any of these people at their word. It's like they say about some people, it's like when are they lying? Well, Republicans are lying when their mouths are moving. So, of course, I'm not going to take any of this with anything less than, like, you know, 5 pounds of salt.
Well, this is the interesting part that then brings in the hypocrisy into it, because this is from a piece over at the Associated Press for Wisconsin, Scott Bauer writing it up and reading down in the piece, talking about TikTok. If you're not familiar with the exploding app, like I'm personally not on it. I don't know if you're on it, Jesse, there are a lot of young people using this app now. And so reading from the Bauer piece at the AP, TikTok, which has exploded in popularity with nearly addictive scroll of videos, has also struggled to detect ads that contain blatant misinformation about U.S. elections, according to a recent report from nonprofit Global Witness and the Cybersecurity for Democracy team at New York University.
So it's like Elon Musk's Twitter at this point.
That and just everything that gets put out by these Republicans. They're the biggest proponents of the big lie, except for the fact that now maybe there is a bigger proponent in TikTok. And so it's just the pot calling the kettle black, and I do not understand how this then gets picked up as a serious media concern around the state. These Republicans are getting exactly what they want, and if we don't call out the hypocrisy, the hysteria that comes with these elected officials, they represent us in Congress, and this is what they're spending their days doing, Jesse.
I like my hysteria with a side order of week-old green beans.
Week-old green beans. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. We're joined in studio by my friend Jesse this Tuesday afternoon. Going to be joined by Clint Anderson, State Assembly Representative-elect, coming up at 2:30, but we got another letter to discuss as well. This one coming from the U.S. Department of Justice, and seems a lot more serious than the letter we just wrapped up. But if you want to give us a call, send us a text, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. We're going to be right back after this quick break.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for rain becoming mixed precipitation tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 32. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. High of 38. Lows around 29. Tomorrow night, overcast skies. Upper 30s Monday and Tuesday, with a chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to this program across the Civic Media Network. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to our website, civicmedia.us. You can learn more. You can see a fun interactive map of all the station coverage that we offer across the state of Wisconsin. You can sign up to learn more. You can also check out past shows through our podcast page for both Dueling Tangents and all the other programs we put out across the Wisconsin airwaves. I'm joined in studio by my friend Jesse. Jesse.
Hello.
We're talking about dueling letters. And so we wrapped up the one that Republican congressional delegation decided to, what I believe would be a leak to the press. I'm not quite sure how it got to the Journal Sentinel and the AP.
It was really trying to pretend that it was a letter to the Evers administration when really it was a press release dressed up as something more and not even really.
And it could have been a phone call.
Yeah.
It could have been handled internally, but Republicans sent to Congress here in the state of Wisconsin decided, no, we're going to air out these grievances and we're going to gripe about them.
Also, it's fake and didn't even need to be addressed at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, phone call, you could have really just, you
boils
know,
down to.
Could have just, you know, kept that as an internal thought and been like, yep, that's not real.
Well, there's another letter here that I think is of some importance and may put some people in trouble here in the state of Wisconsin. Because this one's pretty interesting. Reading from a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written up by Molly Beck. And the headline, Jesse, U.S. DOJ subpoenas Wisconsin County election officials for Trump communications.
Right. So one letter was a fake press release. This letter is something else called a subpoena. That's a little bit more weighty. It carries a lot more weight.
I wouldn't say a little bit more weighty.
Sure. It's more of a real tangible, germane thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hopefully enforceable by law to get these people to hand over their communications, because it seems like the new special counsel, Jack Smith, isn't wasting any time.
Nope.
And if I had to put a guess on it, Jesse, it sounds like if you were involved in, say, a coordinated scheme to submit fraudulent electors rather than the actual official slate of electors in hopes that you Donald Trump's plan to overturn the 2020 election would succeed, and then your fake electoral vote would count towards keeping the losing candidate in power, it seems like you may be in trouble here in the state of Wisconsin, but also in our neighboring state, Michigan, and down in the Southwest, Arizona, because Jack Smith is issuing these subpoenas not just to election officials here in the state of Wisconsin, in Milwaukee and Dane County, to get their communications with Jim Tropis, the Dane County attorney that was hired by the Trump campaign to oversee the recount efforts, and really also he received the memo outlining the scheme of the fraudulent electors. But election officials in Maricopa County in Arizona, as well as Wayne County in Michigan, receiving similar subpoenas. And do you think this is a good sign, Jesse? What are your thoughts on what's going on? And are we going to see accountability for fraudulent electors?
Well, I think there was a discussion about this, you know, as the fraudulent elector scheme was emerging, both before, during, and shortly after January 6th. And a lot of folks, you know, were asking their state's attorneys general, you know, why aren't you doing anything? What are you doing about this? You know, are you doing any research? Are you filing anything? And
there were calls on Josh Call here in Wisconsin for him to do more.
And while I'm sure he was, you know, doing something about it, also realize in his seeming position as a lot of these other states where, hey, guys, this is coordination across state lines, which really, really, really makes it a federal thing. So the fact that Jack Smith issued these subpoenas to three separate states all at once is suggestive that this is a very real federal case. This guy's not screwing around. This is the first enactment of a true filing since he's taken over this investigation. And by the way,
he just got appointed to this position last month.
Yep. And by the way, he's basically overseeing as special counsel two separate and intertwining investigations. One of them into the fraudulent electors and the January 6th conspiracy to, you know, seditious conspiracy, but also Mar-a-Lago and the illegal retention of top secret documents by former President Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And it's going to be interesting to see what cookie crumbles there and, you know, what's going to happen. Cause it looks like, he's ready to move past, you know, the intro into the mid game and maybe towards the end game on some of this.
Hey, I would love some end game because we weren't seeing any of that from Merrick Garland. Right. So the fact that Jack Smith is moving pretty quickly already with this one is nice. But then it's also important to point out, reading from the Molly Beck piece, outside of just Jim Tropis, also on the list of people Smith is seeking records regarding are John Eastman, an attorney who also sought to persuade Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to take the illegal and impossible step of overturning the 2020 election results months later, and Kenneth Chisborough, who sent the initial memo to Tropis regarding the false elector strategy. So we've got at least three individuals here in the state of Wisconsin, their communications with election officials in both Dane and Milwaukee County to overturn those communications.
We'll see if this spreads into what was going down in Georgia, too, with, you know, just find me 11,710 votes or, you know, give or take.
There's so many crimes that people could be held accountable for. It is nice to see that maybe there's some criminal prosecutions coming too. And also important to throw out there, January House Select Committee today, the chair, Benny Thompson, announcing that the January 6th House Select Committee will issue criminal referrals as well. So a whole lot tied up into a bow, potentially.
I'm guardedly optimistic. I'm not going to hold my breath, but this sounds better than what was going on before.
Right. It's a silly holiday season that you're going to want to stay tuned to Dueling Tangents for throughout the month of December as we continue to keep an eye on these developing stories. But the U.S. Department of Justice issuing subpoenas for communications with election officials and Trump allies in overturning the 2020 election today. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be joined by Clint Anderson coming up next. Stay tuned.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least five people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP, Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed six people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Harrod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by William Walter. Talking Wisconsin headlines, and going to get to some national politics here as well, but going to head over to the phone lines now. We got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind on this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, you guys mentioned already all this stuff about the price gouging and the corporate greed that went on. And then also they tried to, you know, like you guys said, blame it all on the stimulus package. And you know what else? I don't know, maybe I didn't hear this, you probably already said it. Had he not done the stimulus package, and we would have went into a depression, possibly, at the very least a recession, I'm sure that would have been his fault, too.
Oh, yeah, you know? If Joe Biden didn't do enough to prevent the national economy from going into a recession or depression, it would be absolutely his fault, according to all of those pundits.
So, it was damned if he did and damned if he didn't when it came to that. That's all I was going to add to it, because you know good and well that's exactly the tack they would have taken had he not done anything. And the last guy wouldn't have done anything. And we probably would have lost several more million people, because look how poorly he administered the rollout. He had that under his last month or two of his term. Mm-hmm. And did nothing. left office with less than 3% vaccinated? Yeah, that's really doing your job.
Yeah, and you didn't account for the secondary orders of doses that needed to go through the pharmaceutical companies that were providing them. He doesn't know how government works, Dick. He's a failed real estate mogul that then revamped his image through reality TV. I don't know what anybody expected him from to be able to roll out a national vaccine program. Like, it's
well, I expected nothing less than what he did. I'll be quite honest with you. I've railed on this guy with an ex-brother-in-law since back in the 80s. What a phony he was.
Yeah, and he wanted to send out more. The Trump administration wanted to send out more stimulus dollars. Republicans in Congress wouldn't meet him on that.
That's
the
great irony. Who signed the first two stimulus bills? Because remember, his name was at the bottom of the check. He wanted made sure that you knew Donald Trump gave you this money.
Yeah, he signed them. They were Trump bucks. And so he had no problem with stimulus when it was his administration that was signing off on it. And it was Republicans in Congress that were like, oh, we gotta roll back some of this spending. They didn't want the American people to receive support during the worst pandemic in 100 years.
In fact, Donald came out and even said that one of his great regrets was listening to Mitch McConnell and not issuing another stimulus check.
I think a lot of people have regrets listening to Mitch McConnell, especially because, and we appreciate your phone call, Dick, where that transitions pretty nicely into the next topic here, because Mitch McConnell going to remain in the minority in the U.S. Senate. We knew that going into this runoff, but the power sharing agreement that McConnell and Schumer, the leader of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate, had to come up with in 2020 when it was a 50-50 split Senate. For the Rules Committee, you kind of outline how it's going to work for that session of Congress for the 2 years, and they did a power sharing agreement with the 50-50 tie, and now that can be ripped up, Will, because Democrats will have 51 senators after last night in Georgia, the runoff election. U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock, going to be elected to a full term. He won his first term 2 years ago to fill the remaining 2 years of I forget exactly when.
Kelly Loeffler's seat.
No, but Kelly was appointed there by Kemp, and then she had to run in that special election too in 2020, and that was only for 2 years. I think somebody passed away. Somebody passed away or resigned out of the Senate from Georgia. There were some outside steps that led to Loeffler being appointed by Kemp in 2019, and then in 2020 there was a scheduled special election for the 2 years remaining on that Senate term.
Senator Johnny Isaacson resigned for health reasons.
There we go. So Warnock initially won the remaining 2 years of that Senate term, had to run for a full 6 year Senate term this past November, didn't meet the 50% threshold. So he and Herschel Walker went to the runoff, which was held yesterday in Georgia. And U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock being sent back to the U.S. Senate, this time for a full 6 years, thanks to the voters down in Georgia.
And, you know, you mentioned Mitch McConnell's role in this. He is the one nominating candidates. I believe he spent like $39 million from his own super PAC. Last night, Laura Ingraham said she was, quote, pissed because leadership is just not doing a good enough job of finding good candidates that are capable of winning. Ironic she didn't mention this previously. You know, they had 4 weeks just with this race alone, and they've had months and months and months to denounce Herschel Walker as a candidate, but they didn't until he lost, because it's just results, results, results.
The former guy's handpicked candidate, I believe, there in Georgia. There were Purdue ran for governor against Kemp. Somebody else was, I can't think of it.
And then Purdue lost his seat to Ossoff.
Yes. Yep. And that was back in 2020. But there was another, it wasn't Gomer. Gomer's from Arizona. I'm trying to think of the Trump-friendly House member that ran for the Senate seat again and lost to Herschel Walker in the Republican primary. There was somebody there, but Trump then ultimately backed Herschel Walker in this, and Mitch McConnell said that this candidate quality matters in the U.S. Senate. When Kevin McCarthy was kind of giving him some crap about going back and forth of where Republicans were picking up seats in the U.S. House of Representatives in the U.S. Senate, but it turns out that the power sharing agreement that McConnell and Schumer had to strike back in 2020 will be ripped up for this upcoming session of Congress. And I think it's some interesting
political calculus that all of a sudden shifts now, that it's a 51-49 split in the Senate. One of those things being it puts a lot less importance on the votes of both Senator Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema in the next session. And so, Will, I kind of think this means we're going to see some things get done in the U.S. Senate during this lame duck session. We've got less than a month now before the next Congress is sworn in, and you don't think anything's going to get done.
Well, just so that we can elaborate a little bit to make clear, the biggest difference, too, on the 50-50 thing, because you know, people who casually follow politics would recognize, oh, I thought the Democrats had control of the Senate. They technically did, as mm-hmm. the sitting vice president becomes the deciding vote. So Kamala Harris was the 51st vote.
Correct.
But as you mentioned with the split sharing agreement, it means that committees
every single
had to
committee.
Be every single All committee had to committees. Be every other party leadership.
Well, no, I believe it was just there was a chair and a co-chair, and they had almost equal power through the power sharing, and so there was no subpoena power for Senate committees because Democrats didn't have the outright majority. They had this power sharing agreement that prevented them from, even when Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, now Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, was nominated, the reason that there was some delays there in the parliamentary aspects of her nomination procedure through the U.S. Senate was because there was a 50-50 tie on the Judiciary Committee in the U.S. Senate. And now there are things like that are done away with mm-hmm. in this come January. There will be an outright majority on all of these committees in the Senate. And so it gives the committees in the Senate a little bit more power. Again, the reason why we saw a House Select Committee on January 6th and not a joint select committee between both bodies of Congress, Republicans had that power sharing agreement in place with the 50-50 Senate. So now I think the January 6th House Select Committee just becomes the January 6th
pass it over to the
Senate Committee.
Yep.
And so it's just going to move there. That's one of the ramifications. But with the House changing hands and the Senate having the 51-49 split now instead of 50-50, I think over these next 3 weeks, not even a full 3 weeks, because the holidays are coming up as well, but there's a lot to get done, and I have a feeling there's going to be some flames held to the feet of Manchin and Sinema in the Senate to try to get some of the things done that they know they won't even be able to begin to touch with Kevin McCarthy or whoever the poor schmuck that becomes Speaker
whatever
of the House. Yeah,
it's like tricked into that role. Yeah.
They're gonna have a real hard time. Like the Freedom Caucus on steroids is essentially what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz are gonna do. It's gonna be more or less a political circus in the House of Representatives over the next 2 years, and I think there's gonna be some things that get passed in the next several days. I'm hoping to start to get whiplash, to be honest, Will. Like, I'm hoping they're going to just start cranking these things out.
It might just be my youth apathy, but man, Luke, you have a much higher... You have
I know there's a lot of septuagenarians and octogenarians in there, and so whiplash for them may be really painful, but I'm hoping that they just start... Like, we saw the Respect for Marriage Act get passed. Senator Tammy Baldwin here in Wisconsin working very hard to make sure that she couldn't get the votes before the midterm election. She got right back at it and... got the votes necessary to pass that in this lame duck session. We still have to get the vote in the House, but I believe Nancy Pelosi is going to get that done before the gavel switches hands. I believe that will get to the President Biden's desk before the holidays. But there's also a government funding bill that needs to be passed before the end of next week, I believe. Like, there's a clock ticking on the government funding bill. There's looming conversations about the debt ceiling. That's something that Republicans have already indicated that they want to hold hostage Social Security and Medicare benefits if the debt to negotiate around the debt ceiling. If Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema don't want to see cuts to those programs, they better get
on board,
get moving, yeah, and pass either an increase or an elimination altogether of the debt ceiling, because again, this political circus that's going to come out of the House of Representatives come January 3rd is going to be something that we haven't seen in a while.
Do you know how much Jim Jordan we're going to see? Like 30-35 second clips of Jim Jordan just going in front of random locations and just
spewing BS left and
right.
That's an excellent reminder to put some mute notifications on anything that Jim Jordan does social media.
This is going to be brutal.
But I have a feeling that with the government spending bill, there's a chance maybe to get the expanded child tax credit tacked onto that for maybe another year or two or indefinitely if they're lucky. But I think that there's some options out there that Congress, between now and the end of the year, could possibly get together, but you're thinking no, the there's not going to be a whole lot besides the bare minimum.
If they had 3 months to do this, I would still not have a whole lot of faith. 3 weeks, I mean, it's a good thing it's not the Wisconsin legislature, because they would have already been tuned out since like March.
Yeah,
but they got 3 weeks. Let's get something done. I think one thing that we haven't really touched on yet that I think is really vital to at least mention briefly is with Warnock's win last night. Democrats have now gained one Senate seat and two governor's seats. It's the first time since 1934 that a sitting president's party has gained in the midterm.
And no incumbent lost.
No incumbent loss
as well of the president's party, which I believe ties back to that same date, 1934. So since FDR, this hasn't been done by a Democrat in office. I believe there
was... lose a single senator, first time since 34.
Yeah, so it was definitely a historic evening in Georgia. This has been a historic midterms. It was everything that Republicans had hoped for, except the exact opposite. They got the House, but there's...
And realistically, too, something we touched on in the past week, without the mistakes from the New York Dems, they might not have won the House either.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Cuomo. Really appreciate all the hard work that he did there in New York. It's going to be interesting to see. And again, I do not feel for Kevin McCarthy. I think his life is about to become hell.
No.
For the next several years. Because, I mean, Paul Ryan, the poster boy of what Republicans wanted to be, withered under the demands from a Trump-like caucus in the House. And now we're seeing not just like a few Trump-like members in the House of Representatives. We're seeing Derek Van Orden.
I mean, they have a squad now. They have their own, counter to the squad.
And I think those members, to get the 218 votes that Kevin McCarthy needs to be Speaker of the House, they're going to make his life hell. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of power sharing agreements may come out of that body, because I think they're going to look pretty interesting. So again, Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, get the lead out. Let's get some business taken care of before the end of the year. Raphael Warnock is going back to the U.S. Senate for a full 6-year term. And Dems are going to have 51-49 splits in the Senate. And that's going to make a lot of different political differences coming up in this new year. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across the civic media. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy tonight with a chance for rain, becoming mixed precipitation. Lows dip down to about 32. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. Lows level off around 29. Tomorrow night, overcast skies. Upper 30s Monday and Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You're listening to this program across the Civic Media Network in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center, and broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, out of Madison. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Again, the news yesterday, Raphael Warnock going for a full six-year Senate term, won it in Georgia last night in the runoff. It wasn't a special, but it was a runoff election in Georgia, defeating Herschel Walker, the Republican, delivering a 51-49 majority for Democrats in the U.S. Senate. And so we talked about how the power-sharing agreement now that has been in place over these last 2 years, Will, is going to be effectively torn up. It's no longer needed. Democrats have the votes to have an outright majority. Vice President Kamala Harris does not need to be consistently in D.C. for the potential need for breaking a tie in the Senate. And Democrats have an outright majority on all of the committees in the U.S. Senate now, come January. So still not in place yet for this lame duck 3-week period that we're currently residing in. But one of the other ramifications of what that means is we touched on the Judiciary Committee earlier in the last segment, but it will be easier for Democrats to advance judicial nominations now. They don't have to deal with kind of the gumming up of the works that Republicans were able to do through those power-sharing agreements. And currently, reading from a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, there are currently 89 open judicial seats. So far, 87 judges have been confirmed under the Biden administration. So more seats open now than have been filled to this point of the Biden administration. So there's 89 seats. I have a feeling now that the process may be able to get streamlined.
Like January 12th.
Wow, for somebody that's so pessimistic of them needing 3 months to be able to get anything done in the lame duck session, you think the Judiciary Committee is going to go real fast with these.
No, I mean, it would be nice to see some progressive judges nominated across the country now that they don't have to worry about bipartisanship and, you know, being friendly and playing nice little games with the Republicans, because we know that the Republicans aren't going to do that. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean,
still a cynic on that one, huh?
Dude, I'm a cynic like across the board, except on the weather. That's my one weakness, is just how absolutely stunningly beautiful it is today.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling, though, there's going to be even more openings coming up besides these 89 current openings. If Democrats have the ability to kind of streamline this process, I'm hopeful that there's some... I think Democrats should take a page out of the Republican book.
Pressure on some older judges to maybe...
I mean, yeah. Breyer retired. He did it. Ketanji Brown Jackson now sits on the Supreme Court. I don't necessarily know if the other liberal-leaning justices on the Supreme Court need to retire. I haven't looked at the math of how old they are versus when the next one...
I've seen people suggesting that. I believe Sotomayor is in her 50s, which...
That's just
conceptually
nonsense,
is so young compared to the 70 and 80-year-olds that we're used to running everything. But I don't know. It's just a lot of the talk was, how many
you know, we never know when we're going to have another option to do this again. It might be 30 years before Democrats can do that.
There's plenty of federal judges below the Supreme Court that I think, you know, maybe they should think about retirement if this process is streamlined. Because, yes, the fact that we have a Democratic-held Senate and a Democrat in the White House right now leads me to believe that that is going to be the emphasis of the next 2 years of the Biden administration. It is working to get some of those current 89 vacancies filled,
judges, and maybe seeing if
there's some others that were considering retirement and didn't really know if they wanted to, but now Democrats have 51 votes in the Senate. Let's make it happen. Because again, the filibuster's been done away with. You don't need a filibuster-proof vote to be able to pass these judges. These judges can go in on a 51-49 or a 50-49 vote for all I care. Or be damned if there's two Democrats that don't want to support the judge, if it's a 49-49 tie, let's have VP Harris go in there and break that tie. Because
do something for us for
that,
now.
That is another aspect as well, that if they're not necessarily against the votes, if there's two Democrats that aren't present, you can now have one Democrat not be present and still pass something 50-49, whereas in this last session, Senator Lujan, I believe, from New Mexico, suffered a stroke, Benny Lujan, and he was in need of medical rehabilitation and wasn't able to take Senate votes. And so there are things like that that hinder a majority when it's as razor thin as it has been over the last 2 years. So there's a little bit of breathing room when it comes to what's going on in the U.S. Senate. And you never know what the future can hold as well. So I think they got to kind of get off the sidelines. And as soon as January rolls around, these judges are getting confirmed, because we don't know how long this majority could last. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and that's why there was so much emphasis on this Georgia race. I mean, we've touched on it in the past, but Open Secrets released a report on how much was spent on this four-week race, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. $412
million. $412
million
spent on a runoff election for a four-week period.
Mm-hmm. Including good friend Richard Uihlein, you know, who had to throw a little bit of money towards Herschel Walker, too. Because, of course, he did, right? When you have billions of dollars, what's a few million?
Well, I mean, but he's the largest private donor, I believe, to Big Lie and Big Lie proponents and Republicans around the nation since January 6th.
Is he?
So, yeah, you'd have to, I don't know the source on that one. I'd have to go dig it up. But the Richard Uihlein has been, behind the scenes, one of the largest donors, if not the largest donor, over the last 2 years. And so he's been cranking in the dark money, spending it everywhere he can, and he's a big loser in all this, too. They got his golden boy back, though. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's going for another 6 years.
Yeah, and in that sense, he got Ron Johnson's massive tax cuts, so it's money well spent if you're the Uihlein's.
I would say it was all the House's money at that point, because Ron Johnson delivered that provision for pass-throughs to be able to avoid taxes in the Trump tax bill back in 2017. So that's still a bummer. We could have had 52. And that's a conversation for another day. But folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. No Brian this afternoon, but really grateful to have Will join me here in studio. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Will, how can the folks out there in the listening audience find you online if they want to?
Oh, hit me up anywhere: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Will Walter 93, WILWALTER 93, or hit me up at our Wisconsin Revolution too. We'd love to have you. You know, we're doing great work, doing what we can.
Not on Mastodon yet?
Oh no, jeez, no, dude, I don't have the time for that. It took me so long to learn the ins and outs of Twitter. I'm like, no.
They called them toots instead of tweets, and I was like, no, I can't. I can't do it.
I draw the line right there.
Like, that was one of the first things I learned about Mastodon. I was like, nope, not doing that. Folks, really appreciate you joining us for this 2 o'clock hour today. Be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll talk to you then across the Civic Media Network.
Have a good one, party people.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it on the- Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.